Today on Packaging Unboxed, we're talking to Paolo Proserpio. He is Italian designer that's worked for Gucci, Versace, and he's a punk rock genius. The guy has created some of the coolest album covers, CD covers. He has taken his love of punk and incorporated it into everything that he does. But he also talks about how he learned while working at Gucci for Tom Ford that maybe you don't have to put everything that you love into the design from a client, right? They don't necessarily always want to see what you love. They want to know what is the best answer and solution for them in that particular problem that you're solving with visual design. We really get into the deep nits and grits of how this works within a fashion brand. We talk about how he went from architecture to design into fashion and then back to like punk rock, DIY, skateboard culture. There's so much in this. I love Paolo and his approach to design. I'm a huge fan of his. I think you're going to love this and I think you're going to get a lot out of it. I'm going to tell you, we recorded this episode like three times, once in Milan, twice here via Wi-Fi. We had some issues with Wi-Fi in Milan. So halfway through this, we shift from one platform to another. You're going to see a difference, but you're not going to hear one. But I recommend you watch this on YouTube because we're going to show all of his work. We're going to show a lot of the video and the behind the scenes stuff that he does. Again, this was super inspiring for me. Somebody that's always clicking on the computer or sketching by hand, seeing him, the way that they rip paper, like just challenge everything that you think packaging and product can be. It's a blast. It's a freak out. Check him out. Paolo Proserpio. You're going to love this. Before we get to the show, do me a favor. Check out idpdirect.com. They are the luxury packaging manufacturer for luxury fashion brands, bags, boxes, e-commerce, pretty much anything you need. They make it in-house in their own factories. They don't sell it through distributors. They only sell direct to brands. So if you're with a brand and you need to buy packaging, check them out. If you're a distributor, sorry, too bad, so sad. Also, check out specrite.com. I'm about to go hang out with those guys at PAC Expo in Las Vegas. I'm super stoked about that. But for you, if you're a brand out there and you need to manage your specifications for packaging, if you've got hundreds of SKUs and you don't know folding board from rigid board from your elbow, you got to know what's happening in your packaging in order to be able to submit all the information that's necessary for EPR regulations, make sure that you know what you're ordering on your next follow-up order. And they make everything super simple with an online dashboard that helps you manage everything about your packaging. So you don't have to depend on suppliers to carry that information for you. Be responsible for your own information. Be responsible for your own packaging. Check out specrite.com. All right, let's get to the show because I'm super excited about this. Paolo Proserpio.
Ciao.
I'm super stoked to bring you to Packaging Unboxed. How are you doing, Paolo?
I'm super good. I'm here in Desio, a little town close to Milan. I'm in my studio. So I'm super happy to meet you again. And so let's do it.
Let's do it. We're going to freak out. We're going to talk about packaging. We're going to talk about design. You know, just to give a quick rundown on yourself. You currently teach at University of Milan, IED in Milan. But what got you started in design?
I'm proud to say that I started being into graphic design because I started skating. Because I don't know if it was 1984, but probably it was exactly that year that I saw Back to the Future movie. Thanks, God! I was seven at that year, and my mom drove me to the cinema to see that. And I saw Marty McFly that was skating. And so I thought that it was a cool thing to do. It was exciting. So my cousin had a basic skateboard. If you want, I can show it because I have exactly there.
It was the exact skateboard.
Yeah, I do. So is this?
That's your first skateboard. This is what put you down the path.
Yeah, and so I started understanding how to do it, but in a little town that. Mm-hmm. Where I live since when I born, I thought that probably it was super cool to do it, but with no internet, with no people skating around this city, it was really intense to do it because I was digging around the big city that is it is Milan, how to do it and how to meet people. So it was for me a treasure to look a guy that was skating in Milan and stop him saying, I'm a skater too. I want to skate. And so since then, we were starting talking, discussing about art, music, and so on. And probably because of that, I jumped into the graphic design thing. So after that, I have studied in a scientific school. And after that, I was encouraged to be an architect, even if I never been interested in architecture in my life. But at that time, graphic design were so loud in Milan. I mean, there are few people that were studying graphic design. And so I joined architecture in Switzerland. And after 3 years, I discovered that I kind of like architecture, but I will never study architecture in the night and in the weekend. And I will never travel to go to a city because I want to see a building. Because what I was doing in the night, in my, I can say, spare time, I was designing flyers of some bands that I was playing in. And so my mom told me, but what are you doing in the night till 5 o'clock in the morning? Because probably that is exactly your passion. So probably you should stop architecture and study something else. And so that's why I jumped into the school that is called IED, in Italian is Istituto Europeo di Design, mm-hmm. where I have started studying graphic design. So since then, I can say that my life has changed forever because what I was doing in my spare time was exactly what I was doing in my work or study time. And when I finished the school, even if my passion was still skateboarding, graffiti, hardcore music, but not just that, because, you know, in the skate videos like Public Domain, Hocus Pocus, or whatever, yeah. It was always a mix between hip-hop, heavy metal, punk, but sometimes jazz and some other stuff.
Yeah.
And so after that, not on my purpose, but because I won a sort of competition to go to work for a fashion company to London. I won it and I lived in London for 6 months working for Gucci during the Tom Ford era. And that has been probably another important crash in my life because at that time I was really into skateboarding and stuff like that. So fashion was something so far from my life. And probably after 6 months in London, that is a beautiful city where I learned so much, I learned probably the most important thing in my life, that is, okay, I love skateboarding, I love graffiti, but I can change every single client into my personal mood board. So I can't lay out a fashion shoe bag with graffiti, blood and scratches, because it's not the theme that they want to be focused on. And so that's probably is the beautiness of having this sort of crash, because at the beginning I was felt so bad that I was designing something that was super yeah. clean. But I understood that you need to respect the client's theme, even if you can be yourself and mixing the fashion thing themes. And sometimes there is a little bit of your, I can say, underground culture. And so after that, I finished the school, got a degree, and then I started working for another fashion company for a very, very long time, that is Versace. But in the meantime, I started teaching at Istituto Europeo di Design, brand design, and printmaking techniques. And then after that, at a certain point, I understood that even if I didn't have a physical studio, I was a studio because there are clients that are coming to you saying, can you design this for us? And so after a lot of years, I have a real studio where I work.
You saw Back to the Future. You got into skateboarding. You got into punk. That took you into design, but your family pushed you into architecture. Then you yeah. realize that that wasn't for you because what you were doing at night was design flyers, you know, punk band graphics. And your mother, in all of her wisdom, said, what you're doing in the evening is what you were passionate about. This is what you have to follow.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I love the, yeah, I love this story because I was the same age. I was that same kid watching Back to the Future. I loved, you know, Marty McFly skateboarding. I thought it was the coolest thing. You know, when he skates and then the sparks come out of the back of the skateboard. Like, I thought that was so cool. So I started skateboarding. I think I have a, I had a board just like that one. And I was in New York. I was in Queens, New York, and there was nobody skateboarding. So it's like you just had to learn. And you're right. Like, skate culture takes you and it exposes you to so many different things, from the different types of music, different types of people. I think I got my first tattoo in like sixth grade with all my skateboarding friends. You know, you're just like wild children. And that was a different time back then when you didn't come home. And that was fine. You know, there was no cell phones. There was nothing. You just roamed the streets like a pack of animals and you learned. It was good. You graffiti, you get in trouble. Good stuff. So you went to Versace.
Yes. So after Istituto, when I got my degree, I started working for Versace and I stayed inside of the company for 9 years. And then after that, I've been an external consultant for 9 years as well. And now I'm kind of working again with them, but we just on just few projects. Now let's say that my studio is really focused, above all I can say, on record covers of, I can say, underground bands. And but also I have people that ask me to design packaging of food, makeup. Let's say that probably because I have started in this skateboard culture that was really physical, probably because of that, I have this lust for the material stuff. And so that's why I never designed a website in my life. And that's why I never made an animation in my life. So I love the material, I love to fold, I love to cut, and I love when I see my printed matters out.
You were so gracious to share with me all of these examples that I brought home with me from your fanzines that include, you know, stickers and postcards and hand cut items. The printing in here is, you know, I mean, this is great quality, but the design is so rough in some areas that it's so much fun. You know, from your like halftone print to like the old school illustration and with all the texture, like that's so much fun. And then of course your missing hair posters that covered your entire booth at Packaging Premier Milan, which we didn't get to appreciate when we were there because, you know, this is a pink piece of paper. And then you've glued on a white sheet of paper. You have a print that overruns both. You've got color. You've got text. And then you have all of these with your Instagram for both you and Martha, which is like a missing poster. And then anybody can just take your information with them. Where did these ideas come from? Because that is so much fun to interact with. It must have been so much fun to create.
Let's say that for me is always to try, if I can do something that is fun for me to making it, for me is the best. Yeah. Of course, I can't print by myself and fold the 10,000 catalogs. But for example, this was 640 of these. Hand-glued, hand-cutted, and there is also this little dotted line that allow you to pick the contacts out. So the idea started from that, as you can see, I'm losing my hair, like the LCDs, I'm losing my hair. So I thought probably a wig is a packaging for people like me. And so as I don't have any wig, so I asked Marta Biasi, that is not only a super good illustrator, but is also my innamorada, my girlfriend.
why don't you design? why don't we design some wigs? Of course, this idea came after that we were talking together what we can do in a packaging fair where people are there to showing the products. Why don't we do something that is really unexpected? Mm-hmm. And so we came together with this idea of the wig. And so, you know, when you miss like a dog or a cat, you make a flyer that says missing. And so we thought probably it was strong to say just miss. Yeah. That is also part of the verb missing, but also because miss, like a female woman, a girl. And so we printed all of them. We overprint, we cut it and everything. And I can say proudly that my mom and dad helped us to doing all of them, because my mom and dad, now they are not working anymore because they are more or less 70, 75. But since they are both into, I can say, creative matters, and they are really passionate regarding doing handmade stuff. Most of the time that I have to do something that is, I can say, long and with a lot of parts that are totally handmade, sometimes I phone them saying, I'm doing this. Are you happy to help us to doing that? But probably you will never believe that most of the time happen exactly the opposite. My mom or my dad phone me saying, there is a new record that is coming out. Do you need any help for cutting, gluing, and folding? Or do you need any help for any other project? And so they come here to the studio. We stay here. We have
coffee. Are you doing anything
together.
Weird?
Exactly. And so we're doing together. Yeah. So it's staying together, but doing something that most of the time, I don't want to say that is impossible for the people to doing that, but if you have to pay someone that do that for you, probably is a lot of money. And probably this is part of the DIY culture. So you want to do it with everything that you have in your studio by yourself. So photocopy machine and stuff like that. But bring it into a packaging fair that are nothing to be related with the do-it-yourself culture, because it's the mass production culture. That I don't have anything against the mass production. But I love that we have been able to bring these two worlds together. And at the packaging fair, I can say that it has been really funny to see the people that were looking at these 10 meters by 3 meters tall wall with all these wigs. And so people are taking photos because from a long distance, you see a sort of Niagara Falls of wigs. And so probably it was the first time that I've seen something like that in a packaging fair. And so I think that has worked a lot. I'm super proud of Marta's work.
When I spoke to you and you're like, yeah, my booth is down at the end. It's the one with the wigs. At first I was like picturing like actual hair. And I'm like, no, I don't think I've seen that one. And then you're like, oh, it's the pink with the wigs. And I'm like, oh yeah, of course I've seen that one. You know, it stood out to everybody that was at packaging premiere. And of course every wig is a different color. I think back here I have the black and blue vintage one. It's, you know, they're all different. They're all different, like rock star hairstyles, as well, which I thought was pretty cool. Then you have, you know, and then you said, oh, I have another gift for you. Cause you were full of gifts. You were like Santa Claus. And so I've got my portfolio. And for me, I'm like, oh, this is cool. I'm so excited to check out your portfolio. And you said, yeah, it's just a gangbang of stuff. And in the US, you don't really throw around the word gangbang very much. And I'm like, okay, I kind of have an idea. You just have a bunch of stuff in there. No. Like you gave me your portfolio that literally says gangbang on it. And it has these illustrations of police officers in combat all over it. And it was so hilarious. I laughed so hard when I opened this up, and this is what I got to show your work. I mean, it's beautiful. It's so cool. And you know, you can feel the texture of the print. So tell me about the idea here, like showing your work in this fashion, and you have a lot of work. You've done a lot of work. You've got your Versace stuff. You have QR codes in here that show you some of these other projects. You've got album covers. What's the idea here with like this gangbang?
So the idea started from, when you want to show something to a client, it's like, this is what I done, like bang, grab it. But then I thought, probably not in a very gentle way, that I can say that all my clients, all the clients in the world, not my client, let's say in general, all the clients in the world that a studio can have are the right clients. So yeah. I thought always with Marta, why don't we make a title that probably some client can be kind of afraid of? So why don't we call it Gangbang? Because, the gangbang, probably if you go on Google, you will find something. So the idea is there is a client in the middle and all my work are around. But yeah. The title has that meaning. Probably there are some clients that can feel bad. One can be, I can say, shocked, or can be a sort of interested in. Mm-hmm. So that's why I did this, like saying, okay, people that will understand it and can laugh about that, probably there will be the client that I will work with them forever. The client that probably can be afraid of that or cannot jump exactly into the funny mood, probably... I don't know if they are the right one they can work with me. Probably it was just starting from that idea, and probably because of the word bang that is related to the gun. And the gang, when you say gang, is a bunch of people that like gangster that probably has. So that's why I found this book that my brother Marco brought me when he went to Russia to work. My brother is a video maker, and he brought me this really old book with this drawing. Probably the book was from the 50s or the 60s of a policeman that was kind of fighting with and defending himself or attacking another guy that was wearing a suit. So I scan all of them and I make a pattern, and then me and Marta, we have a hand silk screened one by one, and we did 600 portfolios. So that's how it started. And as you can see, there is the metal tape that is the way of binding, but is a white metal staple. Sorry, on the edge. Yes. That is very typical of the fanzine. So I want to do it something that was a mix between a fanzine and something that is cleanly designed, but with a little bit of a twist. So probably I can put two words together.
When it comes to packaging, like what is your approach to design? How do you get from point A when you interact with the client and you determine we need packaging, because sometimes they don't need packaging. How do you go from that point to some of this wild, crazy design?
I really would love to do something that is very related to the mood and the themes of the client. So it's focused on what the client wants in terms of communication. But if I think I can make a little bit, I can say a twist or something that can be interesting and funny, and sometimes I can say unexpected, probably it's a good goal. And so that's why, for example, for the arcade packaging, I thought exactly pointing my ideas into that. So the record is called Devo Challenge Cup by this band that is called Yonic South, not Sonic Youth. The title with the band that was from the 80s, I thought that it was a good idea to have this mood regarding the arcade, the computer. And so during the 80s, I was playing arcades in the little bars in my town. And so that were done with wood with some insert of plastic. So I thought that how can I do it? So I did a research on paper, and I found this paper that it looks exactly like wood. I can show it to you if you
want.
Yeah,
I would love to see it.
This is the envelope that you receive. I will not build the arcade now, but yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you build it, it's a two-piece design, because you have the cover and the arcade. And as you can see, you have this sort of a wooden paper. And then you have the monitor. And there is also this effect, a relationship to the computer. But also I love the fact that it looks like a monitor that doesn't work well. So a monitor that is freaking out. This was the limited edition, 100 pieces. And I can say that this is a rock and roll swindle, because probably there will be people that is buying this packaging, not because of the music, but because they want to have an object that talks about something. So they are buying something not because of the music that is inside of that. Probably they will never put the vinyl on the turntable. And so that's why sometimes I feel to troll the people. Even if I'm trolled many times, sometimes I buy packaging of toothpaste because I just love the paper of the finishing. And sometimes I buy records of bands that I don't like so much, but just because of the amazing packaging that they did.
Yeah.
And regarding the music, I can call it the Great Rock and Roll Swindle, because now there are a lot of people that buy records, and then because it's more easy, they listen it on Spotify, Deezer, or whatever, because it's easier.
Yeah.
And you can listen to that everywhere you are with your mobile.
Yeah. Yeah, you have access to everything, right? We have access to everything, where when we were younger, if you didn't have access to music, you didn't have access to the record store, or the record stores didn't have access to the music you wanted to listen to, you kind of had to wait. And when you finally got that piece of music, you know, you'd suffered for so long to get it that you would appreciate it. You know, now it's just available anywhere, anytime that you're ready. So because of that, because you can listen to music on Spotify or just Google or anywhere, we don't really need to buy CDs or buy albums, right? Because the music exists digitally, but we do it because we love the idea. And I think this one, you know, the other pack that you created that I love is the CD where you cut the CD in half, right? So I'm buying a CD and there's nothing that I can play, but it's just for the story. It's a troll, like you said.
Yeah, it's like you are buying a pair of shoes that are not for walking, and it's not for nothing than more than having the story to talk about a shoes that you bought that is exactly for you, but you can't use that for walking. So the idea from the Broken CD came from the fact that this band asked me to design the new record cover. And so I thought, why in 2020 you have to buy again a CD when you can listen to the music on Spotify?
Yeah.
And the CD is no more fancy, like now the vinyl is huge. They cost a lot of money, and it's sometimes very difficult to buy it because there are a lot of limited edition that go sold out in few hours. So I started from the idea that it's a punk band. You know, when the punk era, people were cutting and folding stuff. So starting from the cover, you can see there is the logo that is cut in two, and there is the full color. Before showing the CD, there is the cover. As you can see, there is a guy that is photocopied. So I thought, can I push the boundaries of when I was photocopying the flyers of my little bands that I was playing in? Yes. Instead of photocopying the flyers, I want to photocopy the singer and the bass player and the drummer as well. So I stick it on my photocopy machine, the logo and the titles. I have photocopied physically part of the hands, part of the head, part of the nose, 300 times. Is a really limited edition because of that cover exists, that piece, and that's it.
And that's it.
Yeah, it's one. It's not like Nike. I'm sorry for the Nike fan. But if you want some work, you can call me. And we will design a pair of shoes that
you cannot walk in.
Never use for work. But yeah, Exactly. So instead of making 1,000, just one. So the people have that is just one. And then when you open it, but as the title of the record is Songs for People That Doesn't French Kiss Anymore, these two people are not French kissing anymore. So we cut it physically, and you can see it on my Instagram page. So I think that for the first time in your life, probably you are buying something that's supposed to be played and you can't listen.
Yeah.
So exactly the opposite. But probably this is a funny story to be told to your girlfriend, to your friends. And it's a story that has, of course, a price that is probably it was 10 euros or 15 euros. Right. So super cheap. So it's a nice price. You buy it.
You have a great
not
story.
Because of the music, but because you have a great story. Yes. And so, and also it's funny because when I was making, I was the merch guy at the first gig they did, even if the people doesn't know that I was the designer, and some people were opening the CD and were telling me, I'm sorry, the record is broken. Can I have another one? Yes, sure. You can have another one. Here we go.
It's broken.
Oh, this one is broken too. And I said, I don't know. I'm just selling. But there are a lot of people that are opening the record saying, wow, the CD is broken. And yeah. It was so funny because so people really want to have the story because it's funny, because it's unexpected, because I can say it's weird.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's so cool. Like, why wouldn't anybody else ever have thought of that? Like, that is the coolest thing. So then, you know, we've talked about your portfolio. We've talked about some of the record albums that you've created. But then you spent time at Gucci during the time of Tom Ford. And then you've also spent time in Versace. Having been in this DIY environment and then moving to this regimented yet really creative environment within these beautiful, you know, amazing brands, what did you learn as a designer?
So the first thing that I've learned when I was 22 years old is that, of course, I was into skateboarding, graffiti, punk, hardcore, and I totally loved that. So yeah. I went to work for Gucci in London, not because of Gucci, but because they were paying me a house to work for them. But the huge crash was that I was trying to put my themes, my mood, what I love in every single job that I was designing. So they asked me design a catalog that is all white and clean with just a bag in the middle. And I was scratching, spray painting. And they were telling me, it's not ugly, it's wrong. Because I was trying to put my personal stuff that I love into another client that doesn't want to communicate neither graffiti, neither dirtiness, neither scratches, neither blood, neither nothing like that. And so I learned that you can be a designer that have, of course, a style, but you can deal with a punk band, you can deal with a jazz band, but you can deal also with a company that make makeup for amazing women, and you can deal with a eco-bio-friendly nature, whatever. So let's say when I have started, I failed a lot of projects. So they were so upset working with me because I was trying to have a huge ego placed into the project. Mm-hmm. So when I arrived at Versace, I already know the story. And as you can see, I was so excited working with them because I was touching themes that are not part of my personal taste. But I totally loved to deal with this stuff. And then I have learned a lot of stuff following huge productions, like you design an invitation that is 2,000 pieces with a lot of special techniques into that. But I can say also that I did that because when I was young, I was placing my hands into stuff, so into folding, into gluing. So when I was going to a supplier, I feel part of the supplier. So it's a mix of you learn it because you love the do-it-yourself culture, but then there is you're applying the do-it-yourself culture into another world. That is not, it doesn't mean that I was folding 10,000 catalogs by myself. But I can say that there is a part, for example, when I love to making a sample, physical samples, I make it one piece handmade. So my client can really fall in love because it's in his hands. then of course I can move from that just one piece to the huge production.
Yeah.
So I learned how to deal with that, because when you do one, you can do it at 3 o'clock in the morning. When you have to wait 10,000, you deal with the supplier that, of course, work from 9 to 6. So you have to respect other people's jobs. And then you have machines that are faster and so on. And so it's what I have learned from that experience.
So what you learned was that you can't put yourself into every job, that you're not the answer to the client's solution every time. Like you said, it wasn't ugly. It was just wrong, which I think is just a really powerful statement for designers, because designers, you know, we all have our own ego. We all have our own style and our own vision. But that vision's not necessarily ugly in different instances. It's just not the right one, which then goes back to your portfolio. You're not for everybody. There's no designer out there that is the designer for everybody, right?
Yeah. No, exactly what is right. Exactly. I can go to some restaurant to eat some food, but I will never go to other one. I can try them, but probably I will never go back again.
Yeah.
Not because it's ugly, but because it's not my personal taste, because we know it doesn't have the feeling to deal with that. So that's why I did the portfolio exactly like that, because I want to have clients that understand how I work. And also, I will totally try to understand what they want to have a good work that is done together.
So you're teaching at two different universities in Milan. When you're working with your students, how do you get that idea across to them?
Usually when I talk to my students, I always bring this example. Dealing with clients is like having 10 or 20 different girlfriends together. It's not a different gangbang, but it's like, you know, you have the girlfriend that totally loves you.
Mm-hmm.
You have the girlfriend that you start dating with and then disappear. You have the girlfriend that doesn't treat you so well. You have the girlfriend that doesn't respect you so well.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to deal with all of them. But the thing is, try to understand what your girlfriend or client want, and try to do what exactly you want, because you are the designer explaining stuff. So usually I always say to the student, you can't explain a project saying, I want to design it because it's beautiful.
Right.
No, because beautiful doesn't exist, because the beautiful can change every day, because I love the Duomo of Milan, but the day after I can say, I totally hate the Duomo because my dog jumped from the Duomo to the floor and died. So sometimes the taste change. How many times you have looked at what were you wearing in the 80s saying, that wasn't so cool. And then after 10 years, of course you change the taste. You say, that was a cool t-shirt in the 80s, because the taste change, because it's your beautiness. So they say, don't explain saying it's beautiful, but say, I designed a cover in black because I want to express the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, probably you love black is your favorite color, but don't say it. Explain me why, because I can say, I don't like black.
Mm-hmm.
And so how can we fight about that? How can we discuss? And so explaining the project. That's probably and then of course there is another thing that for most of the students are super boring, because I teach printmaking techniques, that is a technical stuff, saying that try to understand how the software works and how make technical stuff, because if you know that, you can have more ideas and you can do exactly what you want in the way that you want, dealing with the printer, with the supplier, and so on. I know that it's boring learning software and being precise, because sometimes when people say creative, you think that it's super funny and always regarding something that is funny and that's it. No, sometimes it's funny, but it's hard, because you need to be precise and be very, 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 very technical, because the thing that you are printing has to work.
Right.
And so that's the two things that I... And then also, the last thing is to make the research. Research is to digging everywhere. Even if you are designing a record cover, go to the supermarket and see the amazing pasta packaging.